Hello and welcome to the Avanti Entrepreneur Show. I am Dave Bomano, your host, and we're here to help achievers and business owners and leaders move forward so they can reach their potential. And the way I do this is I interview Rochester's business movers and shakers. Today on the show, I have a special guest and a friend, Tony Cotronio from Woods Ovia. Tony, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
I really appreciate you being on. I know being a lawyer, you're a busy guy. And you're not charging me for this, so I appreciate that.
Thank you, Dave.
So, Tony, the firm now, what I want to do, I want to talk about the firm because it definitely has some Rochester roots, and this show really does a lot of celebration of the Rochester business community, so I think that's pretty cool. Firm's been around for a while, right? And then we can talk about your path as a little bit of you got into your lawyer, some of your maybe personal habits and secrets of success. Love to hear that. And then maybe you could give some thoughts for beginning to middle stage business owners of things that they should be thinking about when it comes to the legal part of their business.
Sure.
How's that sound?
Sounds great.
All right, good. So Woods Oviatt. And now it used to be Woods Oviatt Gilman. Is that right?
It's Woods Oviatt Gilman. Mm-hmm. It used to be when I joined in 1989, Woods Oviatt Gilman Sturman and Clark.
A lot of names.
A lot of names, and the partners elected to shorten the name without showing any disrespect to those other name partners who we obtained their approval to shorten. They were alive when we shortened the name, and now we are Woods Oviatt Gilman.
Okay, so the Gilman's there. It's just on the website. Make it a little bit shorter, right?
There are times where we use two names, and people tend to shorten things by nature, so they call us Woods Oviatt.
What about Woods Oviatt Gilman Cotronio?
The firm dates back to 1862.
Wow.
We are the oldest Rochester law firm.
The oldest?
The oldest.
That is incredible.
And we have steadily grown over those years. When I joined the firm in 1989, after clerking here as a summer clerk in 88, we were 30 to 32 attorneys, somewhere in that range, and now we are over 100 attorneys. And in the last RBJ poll, I think we are the largest Rochester-based employer of lawyers, meaning that our Rochester office has more lawyers than any other Rochester office of any other firm in Rochester.
That's great. That's great. Do you think it's a coincidence since they hired you, all this growth happened?
No. Thank you. I think that we've been fortunate to have a lot of committed partners over the years help us all become better lawyers and better community servants.
That's great. You're a good modest guy, good team player. Yeah. So I'm going to read your bio here and take a little snippet of it, and we'll talk more about it. So Tony Cotronio is a partner in the business and finance department and a member of the mergers, acquisitions, and divestitures practice group and the private equity practice group of Woods Oviatt Gilman, LLP. He is also one of five members of the firm's management committee, which is responsible for general oversight and management of the firm. Mr. Cotronio's business law practice includes mergers, acquisitions, sales, and spinoffs. Tony is a graduate of Syracuse University, having received his BS degree in finance and marketing and his JD cum laude. So that is fantastic. A lot of stuff going on here. So we talked a little bit about the history of the firm. So started in, what'd you say, 1863? 62. And so, I mean, we're right on the four corners of Old Rochester, right? I mean, is this kind of where it was founded? Do we know like where the original location is?
I'd be guessing, but it was somewhere downtown because I think, in those years, most of the professional practices were located downtown.
Yeah.
Unfortunately for downtown, a lot of the professional service companies have moved to the suburbs, but Woods Oviatt has maintained an office downtown throughout its history.
Yeah, great. So you guys stayed here. Beautiful. Yeah, yeah. Any interesting facts about the history? I mean, is there kind of like a history book of the of the history of the company or anything like that? I mean,
we do have kind of an internal history book, really for the Woods Oviatt family, as we like to call it, to look at some of the early founders of the firm and those that have helped contribute to its growth.
Yeah.
Some of the personal stories of folks that contributed maybe a little more than others. But by and large, I think the firm has continued to grow because it, you know, everyone's worked hard and tried to help others, you know, progress in their careers. And you know, so far in my 27 or 8 years of being here, it's been great. It's my only real job.
Yep, your first job and your only real job, right?
Yep, that's right.
That's great. And has it been here in this, we're in the, what is this called, the Reynolds Arcade Building?
We're in the Crossroads Building now.
Crossroads Building, yeah.
When I started, we were in 44 Exchange, which was the Central Trust Bank Building, which is a block north of where we're located now.
Yeah, sure, sure. How has, you know, so you started in 1989. What does, I mean, is it, I know it's business, a lot of business. Is there, are there some specialties that the firm hangs their hat on, or is it more of a general business firm?
Well, I think the larger firms like ours are broken down into several practice groups. The practice groups are business and tax, which I'm a member of, a real estate, generally commercial real estate, estates and trusts, which is planning and estate administration, and litigation. And there's subcategories within those general categories, and we generally practice all of the major areas that law firms practice.
Yeah, that's great. And you know, it's interesting, you know, so many business models have changed through the years because of the digital revolution, the internet, et cetera. How has law practice, law firms changed since you started, because of the digital revolution or just other things?
That's a big question.
That's a big question.
Let me give you a couple different examples of how it's changed. So when I first started, word processing was, you know, alive and well, but it was still not as efficient as it is now. Mm. We didn't have the internet running the way it runs now. So we would be traveling a lot more for meetings, you know, across the country, in different locales. We would be, taking time to revise documents because the technology didn't allow us to do it at our desktops. So now we get on phone conferences or video conferences. Seldom do we travel to meet with the opposing counsel or other business folks. Good and bad. Good that you don't have to travel. Bad that you don't get to meet people and get that perspective when you're doing a transaction. But the it's become much more efficient. The documents are now turned quickly because we're processing so much more efficient. We send PDFs. The internet allows us to, you know, exchange signature pages without having formal closings. Money is now transferred by wire as opposed to checks. So those things may seem small apart from one another. When you combine them, the practice of transactional law, and I think all law, is much more efficient now, which directly benefits the consumers.
Yeah, so saving time and money for in many instances. But to your point, maybe you're not belly to belly with people as much anymore, right?
we're not together as much as we used to be with a number of folks on the deal team, meaning the other side's lawyers. We meet with our own group now because it's important that you meet. But it's an efficient process. It's much more efficient. Like everything else, you have to be more efficient now to be competitive.
Right. That's great. That's great. So, hey, Tony, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Automotive, travel, finance, home repairs, fine living, and more. It's Lifestyle Weekends on 1310 WOKR.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou. Lou is one of you and make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou is like you. He's on meds too.
Call 800-298-0139, 800-298-0139, 800-298-0139. Again, that's 800-298-0139.
Do you use the expensive blue or yellow pills to charge your sex life? Are you thinking about it? What if we can promise you the same results for less than $3 a pill? If you're paying $20 a pill for the other pills, you're getting taken to the cleaners. Our pills deliver the exact same results for less than $3. You'll save more than $16 a pill for the same results. And right now, radio callers will get 44 blue or yellow pills for $120 with free discreet shipping. You can save more than $700 off pharmacy prices. Charge your sex life now and save a ton of money. Call now and get your 44 pills and save over $700 and qualify for free shipping. Stop overpaying and call right now.
800-223-0992. 800-223-0992. 800-223-0992. That's 800-223-0992.
That's what I'm talking about. 1310 WOKR.
We are back with the Avanti Entrepreneur Show. I am Dave Mamano, your host. I'm here with Tony Cotronio from Woods Oviatt Gilman, a great law practice here in town since 1862. And that's quite a long run. Oldest law firm in Rochester. I just love history, so that's why I've been asking a lot of questions. I should have been like a history professor, because I love, especially the history of Rochester. It's such an incredible city. It's like the little city that could. We keep on reinventing, right? And I always say Rochester, we punch a lot harder than our weight, right?
So that's a good saying.
So I'm here with Tony, and he's been at this law firm since 1989. So congratulations for really, you know, being in one place for that's kind of rare these days that people will stay at a company for so long. They used to do it with Kodak and Xerox, like my dad, 35 years, right? But people are all around. So obviously you love what you do, love this company, love your clients, love Rochester, and you just keep on doing more and more of it. So congratulations.
Thank you.
Yep. Are you born and bred in Rochester?
I grew up in Ronequite, went to West Ronequite High School. And then I went to Syracuse for both undergraduate and for law school.
Okay. So you are just an upstate New York guy.
I stayed upstate.
Yeah. Love the Bills, love Syracuse, all that?
I'm a true blue upstater.
Yes, all right.
Yes, I do.
Yeah. Love it. So, you know, for a lot of the young business owners listening to the show, so a lot of people that listen to the Avanti Entrepreneur Show, you know, they're just starting a business, or maybe they're you know, grown a business to a certain level, and they need help getting to that next level. When you guys, I know that your firm, you know, has some great efforts here in Rochester to support the entrepreneurial community. I know that Greg, and why am I spacing Greg's last name?
Gribben.
Greg Gribben, thank you. I'm sorry, Greg. Greg Gribben has been a big supporter with Woods Oviatt Gilman of the Entrepreneurs Organization, EO Western New York. And I know that I was one of the founders of the local chapter years ago, where it's a lot of entrepreneurs that are in that small to medium-sized business stage looking to grow to that next level. And Greg and Woods Oviatt has been a sponsor for a long time. And Greg was smart because he gets to come to all the events too. So he's learning and growing and mingling with all the crazy entrepreneurs too. But if you were, you know, sitting down with some younger business owners and really had to give them some thoughts on how to build a great business, because I'm sure you've seen through the years, to your dismay, some clients that made some bad errors, bad judgment. You could look back now and say, what are some advices that you know you would offer some business owners to really create some good sound business practices to continue growing?
Well, I think you have to start with having a good plan, right? Mm-hmm. Have a business plan, a strategic plan, and surround yourself with competent advisors. You know, the more customary advisors are, you know, a good accounting firm, a good lawyer and law firm, financial planners, those that can help, you know, guide you on how to manage your assets, both your firm's company's assets and your own personal assets, and you know, plan with your group of advisors, take measured risk, and continue to, you know, work hard on your plan.
Yep, that's great. So I get asked a lot, and so I thankfully, thank God, I have the same employee identification number that I had when I started my business back in 95. Completely different business models, but I've always kept, it's just for me, I know it's been like a proud thing. Like I could have, you know, when I had my company Next Step U, and I still have pieces of it, but, you know, the rise and kind of change of that whole model, I could have said, you know what, I'm going to fold this and start a new one. But I kept that same employee identification number just out of pride, you know. So I could say I have been in consistent business since 1995, which is, I'm no Woodsoviet, but, you know, someday my great-grandkids will say, hey, my great-grandfather started that business way back in 1995. Right. But when I started the business, I was informed to do an S-Corp. And I was a, you know, sole proprietor at the time, but my CPA said S-Corp would be good for you, and he explained the benefits of that. LLCs, I had heard of them. I don't know if they were as big as they are now. What is just like the logistical difference? Can you explain the difference of those two types of corporations?
Yeah, I you know, if we're going to compare S-Corps to LLCs, the Limited Liability Company Act really provides a lot more flexibility for the members to provide by their contract, their operating agreement, kind of the rules of the game, where the business corporation law, you know, has some rigid provisions that governs how you have to operate. So I'd say the Limited Liability Company Act is more flexible. So limited liability companies, all else being equal, for, let's say, medium and small business in particular, is usually the vehicle of choice. However, that's one of those decisions you really need to make with your professionals, your accountant, yeah. Because there are tax differences and structural differences that you ought to know about before you make a entity selection.
Right. Yeah, I think my lawyer at the time and my CPA at the time were talking about how I could take like stockholder dividends or draws, save some money that way, and so it made sense for me because at that time, you know, I still do own 100% of the company, so it made sense. I know, and I have had separate companies, and you were involved. You helped me with some of them, and they were LLCs because I had some different partners, and it was we were better to be members, I guess. So, and then a C corp is that something just more for bigger companies? I never really understood the C corp.
Well, the difference primary difference between an S corp and a C corp is really how the profits are taxed. An S corp provides a pass-through vehicle so that the owners are taxed at the individual level. Mm-hmm. There's no corporate or entity level tax, where the C corp, you have a entity level tax at the C corp tax rates, and then the distributions or dividends are then taxed to the owners. There are different reasons to use C corps than there are for S corps. So, you know, larger companies generally. They are usually C corps because you have multiple owners, and the entity would not want to be distributing and allocating tax to hundreds or thousands of shareholders, like the public companies, for example.
Yeah. Okay.
So smaller entities tend to either be S corps or LLCs.
Yeah.
And the difference between an LLC and a S corp, you know, other than the flexibility I mentioned, is you're taxed, you know, as a partnership, a little slightly different than, you know, how the S corp passes through the tax to the individual, but very similar. Similar.
How about partnerships? Have you seen a few partnerships go south in your years here at the firm?
Nowadays, the LLC or the limited liability partnerships have taken the place of partnerships. Generally, there are still some business reasons to use general or limited partnerships, but by and large, the limited liability companies have taken the space for partnerships.
Okay. How about just the relationship between partnerships? What are some, you know, I've seen in my years, just I've seen so many friendships and partnerships dissolve because it's like a marriage. Are there things that you know, two people starting a business together can think about in advance to minimize the risk of, you know, a disaster at the end just because of really emotional things rather than you know, logistical business things?
That's a great question, and you know, a good prop for us. We always encourage our business clients, whether they're operating in a corporate setting or a limited liability company setting, to have a buy-sell agreement, whereby this restricts the transferability of your ownership interest, but also allows for a peaceful, if you will, split up. So it's predetermined in the event the relationship, the business relationship, has to come to an end, how it comes to an end. If it doesn't, if you don't have that type of provision in your buy-sell documents, you know, usually litigation results that keeps people fighting for longer, cost a lot more, and it's a lot of negative energy, yeah. And it could destroy your business.
Yeah. Well, I've seen it over and over again, and maybe the business is doing well, but the partners, like a marriage, just they can't get along anymore, right? And it's a shame. And it's almost like, you know, when I got married, we went to pre-Cana, and they talked about all the things that possibly could go wrong, and let's try to discuss them in advance to nip them in the bud. And so that's what you're talking about. What, you know, let's think of everything that could possibly go wrong that we could think of in this business relationship, and have a plan if that happens, right?
Yeah, a fair plan to continue the business, mm-hmm. perhaps with different ownership if things are not you know, personally going well, or even if the business styles change.
Yeah, yeah. So you've been downtown for your whole career. And I was downtown when I worked in radio sales in the early 90s. I was in Midtown. And I remember walking outside at lunch, whatever, back then, and it was kind of dead. It was, you know, like the spirit of Rochester was a little waning. I think that's when the big three started to go down. But I got to tell you, now when I'm downtown, I feel such great energy and such a resurgence. I feel like Rochester's going through a renaissance. I was at Bronca over the summer, and I looked outside. People are playing stickball at lunch, and you know, people are jogging and walking dogs and riding bikes. And I'm like, am I looking out in a window here in Manhattan, or is this Rochester? It was so good to see. And you're right here on the stretch where like so many fun things are going on. How do you feel it? Do you feel like a resurgence of Rochester self-esteem and you know, kind of business productivity coming back?
I'd say so. I think that Rochester, the city of Rochester and the community, the county, and a lot of businesses have committed to redevelopment of Rochester, and it's starting to, you know, show. There's more people living downtown now.
Yeah.
There's new developments, so there's businesses that are either relocating or growing downtown. And, you know, pretty soon I think you're going to see, you know, even a bigger renaissance. It's on the right track. You know, we also have an office in Buffalo, New York, and you know, Buffalo's done a nice job too. I know this is a Rochester show,
but we love Buffalo.
Yeah, we love Buffalo too, and we see that as a great, you know, for our firm, a great growth area. Mm-hmm. But you know, I think upstate cities generally, the quality of life that we have, trying to create an environment for our businesses and our young professionals, I think the city's resurgences is important, and I think we're doing well here.
Yeah, absolutely. I talked to you know, do you know Don Jeffries from Visit Rochester?
Sure.
I had him on the show yesterday, and you know, he calls his official, non-official title, I have to say, is Rochester's biggest cheerleader. He's in charge of really bringing businesses and conferences to Rochester, and you know, and he's working closely with people like Bob Duffy and the mayor and Jim Sinnell. I mean, a lot of these movers and shakers really kind of leading the way. And he said, for the first time in a long time, it's great to see everybody working together. You know, it's not about who's going to win, what organization is going to take credit. And it seems like we're all rowing in the same direction together. And it hasn't happened in a while. So it's kind of exciting to see everything happening. And to your point, people moving downtown. I mean, people are moving in the old Sibley building, right? High Tech Rochester's going there. There's going to be apartments there. From what I understand, they're doing great with pre-booking apartments and all that. The Metropolitan, Galena, once again, they're filling that place up, you know. That Bergman building, I hear that's like at capacity. Like, there's no more apartments left. So it's kind of exciting. It makes me want to move downtown, you know.
Well, you know, there are some, you know, Empty Nesters moving downtown too. I mean, the more that the city develops, the more restaurants, the more shops, the more people. You know, it's encouraging.
Yeah, that's great. So, Tony, I'm going to give you a compliment. So you've been working hard as a lawyer for, what'd you say, almost 30 years? 27 years, did you say?
I think it's 28.
You look good. You look good. You know, a lot of lawyers, they, excuse my French, they look like, we'll say, baloney, you know, because they're up nights and, you know. So what are some of your personal habits for success? I know you got a nice wife and three beautiful kids. And what are some of your hobbies and habits to just really, you know, have that glow in your face?
That's very kind of you, and I'm glad we're on the radio and not on TV.
So, making a blush.
So nobody can be second guessing your opinion. Well, you know, I started my family late, so I've always been, you know, committed to trying to take care of myself. Mm-hmm. I think it's important for everybody to try to take care of themselves. So, you know, diet, exercise, I'm not perfect.
Yeah.
I still enjoy some of the finer things like good wine, mm-hmm. scotch, and, you know, good food, but, you know, in moderation.
Yeah.
And I've got I started my family late, like I said, so I've got a 17-year-old son, a 15-year-old son, and a 12-year-old daughter. And, you know, trying to keep up with them, you know, trying to make sure I'm at as many events as possible. And, you know, when you have a family that you care about, you try to take better care of yourself, right?
Right, yeah.
And the firm has always been very flexible. We work very hard here. The job's hard. But, you know, this community, understands family, and understands hard work. And, you know, I hate to use the word balance because I don't know if I have perfect balance, but I try to do enough things, and the firm encourages that, that keep things in some balance that hopefully you know, doesn't take your body doesn't take a beating.
Yeah, so it's intentional. So you enjoy scotch and wine, just not too much. You're eating some good Italian food, so you keep healthy, right? So
my father, God rest his soul, always said excessive moderation. You know, try to do a lot of things,
right?
Do them moderately.
I like that.
You should be okay.
I like that very much. It's was he a Rochester guy too?
Born and raised here, and you know, led by example, worked hard. He was a barber turned hairdresser.
Mm-hmm,
He was one of the founders of Shirigo.
Oh, very cool.
Him and his partner Gene Cardamone and
Peter
Webb. And you know, he worked hard and showed us you know, how to work hard and how to have some fun too.
Right, cool. Hey, Tony, on that note, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Join Gordon Deal weekdays from 5 to 9 for America's Morning News on 1310 WOKR.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 of pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 877-660-9974 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 877-660-9974 to take your call now. Call 877-660-9974. That's 877-660-9974. Again, 877-660-9974.
My Bad Back loves my Craftmatic.
My Bad Back loves my Craftmatic bed.
My Bad Back loves my Craftmatic adjustable bed.
These aren't actors. They're real people who sleep better every night thanks to their Craftmatic adjustable bed. Just call 800-410-6118. That's 800-410-6118 for prices and free information on today's Craftmatic adjustable beds. Amaze yourself and see how little they cost. Rated number one nationwide on consumeraffairs.com. Craftmatic beds come in all mattress types, including cool gel memory foam for up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand. So if you've ever had a bad night's sleep, wake up sore, stiff, with back, neck, or shoulder pain, call for prices and free information on today's Craftmatic adjustable beds. Amaze yourself. See how little they cost. Call 800-410-6118. That's 800-410-6118. 800-410-6118. Call now.
This is a national health alert from the 24/7 Diabetic Health Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one has diabetes, we have important news. If you lost your supplier or if you need one, you may qualify to receive diabetic testing supplies now with little or no out-of-pocket cost, regardless of your age. All you need is Medicare or private insurance to potentially be eligible. Call the 24/7 Diabetic Health Hotline now for details.
Call 800-373-4379. That's 800-373-4379.
Get free, no obligation information, free delivery to your door, and all the insurance paperwork is handled by our accredited agents for free. Call right now and you will also receive a free pedometer as our special gift to you. Regardless of your age, if you or a loved one needs diabetic supplies and you have Medicare or private insurance, we can help.
Call 800-373-4379. That's 800-373-4379. Representatives are standing by to assist you. Call 800-373-4379.
Finally, a radio station for conversation. 1310 WOKR.
Okay, we are back with the Avanti Entrepreneur Show. I am Dave Amato. I'm here with Tony Catronio from Woods, Oviatt, Gilman. I have a lawyer on the show. And people say, this is a show for entrepreneurs. You know, I interview business owners and entrepreneurs. Why do I have a lawyer on the show? Well, first of all, Tony, you're really running a business, right? You're partnering the firm, running a business. But also, too, listen, every business owner, entrepreneur, and you said this in the beginning, Tony, you need to surround yourself with a team of advisors. And those advisors, some of those advisors need to be really good attorney, really good CPA, right? I mean, people that can set you up and guide you. Not that, you know, us crazy entrepreneurs are always going to listen to you. I always say advice is like a buffet, right? We take what we want, but it's, you know, but a good entrepreneur and a long-term successful business owner is smart enough to say, I'm not the smartest person in the room. Let me surround myself with people that are much smarter in their respective roles, listen to their advice, and then decide what I'm going to do from there. And that's your role. I mean, you're certainly, from a legal standpoint, there's some things that just logistically businesses have to do. But at the end of the day, you're an advisor to your clients too, right? I mean, they're coming to you for your thoughts and opinions because you've been doing this for a long time.
Yeah, I think that you realize when you start having some experience that when you're gaining experience, people tell you that experience matters, you realize as you get older, more experience, it does matter. So, yeah. You know, having practiced and worked in this community for almost 30 years and sitting on boards, advisory boards, and helping run our firm, law firms are our business too, like you just mentioned.
Yeah.
And we have the, you know, same type of issues that other businesses have, and you have to still plan, surround yourself with good advisors, subject matter experts, if you are dealing outside of your particular expertise, marketing, culture building, things that any other businesses would do, we do too.
Yep, that's fantastic. So do you deal a lot with franchising and licensing? A lot of people, they get a concept and they want to expand it.
So the firm does have a franchising and distribution practice group, and I am a member of it. Mm-hmm. I have, over the years, I think you know, represented a lot of franchisees and have helped entrepreneurs establish franchises and become franchisors. So, yes, I mean, there are more franchisees than franchisors in this region, and a lot of them are large and they have multiple units.
Yeah.
But we've been on both sides of the franchisee and the franchisor relationships.
Yeah. What do you recommend somebody builds a successful model, let's say just here in Rochester, and they want to franchise it? What are your recommendations for some of the beginning steps to do that?
Well, if you have a business model that is truly scalable and it can be done through a good plan, and others can do it as well as you can, franchising is an opportunity. What you do is you get the professionals that have franchising experience. Now, lawyers, there's also franchise development experts that really will help franchisors go through a process to develop their franchises. Usually, you build a business plan. Within that plan, you build your manual, your model, which is the playbook for your franchisees to follow to successfully operate their franchised business.
Yeah.
I'm simplifying it, but that's, from a 30,000 foot perspective, those are the fundamental elements. You still have to have a business that is, falls within the four corners of being a system that can be duplicated and scaled.
Yeah, I know a lot of people, in my opinion, I see a fair amount of people try to franchise too soon. They haven't really proven the concept as well as they should before, because they just want to make money, right? And they just want to expand it. I franchised my magazine, Next Step Magazine at the time, but I had run it profitably for 7 years, and it was a very profitable business. I said, okay, let me take this model and see if other people can do it around the country, and it worked very well until that darn internet kicked Prince butt for teens, but that's a whole other story.
Yeah. The internet has had a pretty dramatic effect on a lot of businesses that you hear about, some of them, land-based businesses now that are suffering because folks are very used to and comfortable working through the internet, buying things online, and it's not done. It's going to continue to have a dramatic effect.
Has it affected law firms at all? I know that, you could, I see commercials that you could, do some of the paperwork online now, and what was that OJ's lawyer there, Bob Shapiro, opened up, I forgot the name of his. I won't even say it because I don't want to give you guys competition here. But do you see any people going online? I could set up my corporation by myself online. And do you see that affecting the law business at all?
Not a lot. I think that those entity formations, some of the basic things that those services offer, are not a large part of the larger firms' practices, so not a lot. But if people are comfortable forming entities on their own, then we help them. We help them do the stuff that they're not comfortable doing. So
you fix their mistakes later.
Yeah, we help them through some of the mistakes.
Right. Yeah. That's nice of you. Yeah. So you're very involved in the community, and you said you're on some boards. Why do you do that? I know you're busy already, and maybe tell us about some of your community activities, if you don't mind.
Sure. So, I think a lot of it stems from, the firm. I mean, when I came to the firm, of course, you're working a lot, trying to learn your job, but the folks here had always been committed to the community and sitting on boards. It was, it was part of the DNA of the firm, and quite frankly, of Rochester, right? A lot of people give of their time. And so I was encouraged to join boards that I had interest in. So early on, I was on the Small Business Council Board, which is a division of then the Rochester Business Alliance, now the Chamber of Commerce. Mm-hmm. And it served, kind of smaller to medium-sized businesses. And it had a good impact on helping, networking primarily, but also some of the basic skills that we talked about today. Yep. And you meet a lot of people. That was a business board. I'm on the Italian Heritage Foundation board, and that's a truly benevolent board where we raise money through great events that are, really enjoyable, a lot of camaraderie. And we, on that board, we give the money away to kids to go to school or, to get some form of education.
Yeah.
I'm also on my wife runs the Lyric Theater. I'm on that board. And, that's a different culture. It's mm-hmm. arts and a lot of different art forms, performing arts primarily.
Yeah.
And I enjoy that very much. And I've been on other boards, and I try to, help the community through those boards and, other things that we all do.
Yeah, take your talents, right? And, people don't, I think you're kind of alluding to bringing your God-given gifts, your talents to other boards, nonprofits, so you could help them as well. The icing on the cake is you're going to meet people. Business happens, right? I mean, so that's great. I'm trying to remember. Are you on GRB's board as well?
So I'm on some for-profit boards also.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And over the years I've
so served. GRB's my bank. I had Phil Pecora on the show.
Great bank, yep. GRB, yes. Yep. I'm on the GRB board and have been for several years, and enjoy it very much. The bank is, you know, growing, and you know, a great group of board members. Yeah. I'm also on the Auction Direct board.
Oh, good.
Currently,
I just had John Iannone on the show as well.
John is was the former CEO of Auction Direct, one of the founders.
Yeah.
And you know, so I think having a mix of for-profit boards and not-for-profit boards is helpful. You know, the firm. You know, maybe different than some firms our size, doesn't discourage its lawyers from being on for-profit boards.
Yeah.
You know, we fully disclose our involvement, get adequate insurance, but gain great experience. And it's helpful in my practice.
That's right.
As well.
Well, once again, you're giving, you know, your knowledge and experience and helping those businesses grow too. So everybody needs a board of advisors, right? So that's great. Well, and let's focus on one board a little bit, because your wife might get mad if we don't talk about the Lyric Academy a little bit. Is that
Lyric Theater?
Lyric Theater. I'm sorry. So tell us about that a little bit. In the new building. It's been a couple of years now, right? But
right. So I'm gonna give you the backstory, because I think it'll be helpful.
Yeah, absolutely.
For your listeners. So my wife Sue is a trained opera singer.
Yep.
And when we met, she was performing and traveling some. We had our first two children pretty quickly. They were 16 months apart. She had a performance in Italy. She had to go for a few weeks in practice and then perform. I caught the last week of it, and we traveled in Italy a little bit. And the last few days, she was crying a lot that she couldn't do it anymore. You know, so we established the Lyric Opera, Rochester Lyric Opera, which was a opera company, a small opera company that had a kind of a fun mission and vision, which was to bring reasonably tolerable opera and have fun. So we'd have opera that wasn't overwhelming. Aficionados could enjoy it because the music was good. Non-aficionados could enjoy it too because they could understand it, and they wouldn't have to be sitting in their seats for hours. It was usually an hour to an hour and a half. And we also included a party, some sort of reception. So, you know, a lot of my friends would support it and enjoy it, and a lot of the aficionados would too.
Mm-hmm.
That was a challenge to have the opera company, because there were really no facilities that the performing arts really have access to readily. I mean, we have, you know, Kodak Hall is the Eastman's facility, and it's their facility. And other halls at the universities and colleges are their facilities. So we went out and we tried to locate a facility, not for just for the opera company, but for all performing arts organizations like ours, or my wife's. And we happened to have some friends that were parishioners at the Christian Science Church at 440 East Avenue that owned and operated, you know, that building, their denomination, since 1915. The denomination had shrunk, like most religions, or smaller denominations,
mm-hmm.
or religious, I don't use the wrong word,
mm-hmm.
Sects.
Yeah.
S-E-C-T, sects, whatever. and we were fortunate enough to, my wife was fortunate enough to convince us to, you know, give it a shot. And now she's operating the Lyric Theater. She spends a lot of time there. She enjoys it very much. And there's a lot of great things going on there, a lot of performing arts organizations and others. It's not just performing arts.
Yeah.
It's, you know, they have business meetings,
weddings. Events. Yeah. It's a beautiful place,
it's
a beautiful, right? Gorgeous, right?
It really is overwhelmingly beautiful. When we walked in there, we knew.
You have no idea, right, from the outside?
No.
Yeah.
It's 440 East Avenue, so the location is great too, right? But when we walked in there, we said, if you can't make this theater successful in Rochester, then a mid-sized theater can't be successful. So,
right, yeah.
So it's a, you know, 800 plus or minus seat venue. Very beautiful.
That's fantastic. And you're close to Eastman, and that doesn't hurt, right? The opera students probably coming over. I'm an adjunct professor at U of R. I teach a class in entrepreneurship. And one of my students last year was an opera singer student from Eastman, and her business was to partner with businesses to use opera for their events. Or, you know, so instead of having like a band at your Christmas party, have our opera singers, right? And so I connected her with your wife, and I know they were doing some stuff together. And then an event I had last year for business people, my Avanti Summit, we did an opera flash mob. So I was speaking at lunch, and then all of a sudden, quote unquote, I got interrupted by opera singers, and it was my student and some of her classmates. It was fantastic, yeah. You know?
It's like anything else. Once you, you know, take the time to learn a little bit about it and really listen to it, it's a great art form,
right.
You know, and it's you know, if done well, it's magnificent.
Yeah, and you know, we all know some opera songs, right? I mean,
sure.
And I have heard Sue, your wife, sing, and she's very gifted, and you're right, it is art. How many people could sing like that? Not many, right?
You have to really work at it.
So, Tony, believe it or not, we're out of time.
Well, thanks for having me. I enjoyed it very much.
Thank you very much. Tony, if people want to reach out to you, get in touch with the firm, you, what's the best way to do that?
Go to our website, woodsoviet.com, and you'll see the type of work that we do and the lawyers that work here.
Okay, great. Well, thank you. Tony Catronio, Woods Oviatt Gilman, downtown Rochester since 1862. I got that right, 1862?
You got it.
Which is crazy, and I'm just so happy. So, and Tony, known you for a long time. Congratulations on your success, and I wish you many, many more years of massive success.
Well, thank you very much, and to you too.
Thank you very much, and thank you, Avanti listeners. We do have to go. Appreciate you listening to the Avanti Entrepreneur Show. If you or somebody you know would like to be considered to be a guest on my show, please email me at david@davidmamano.com, and Mamano is spelled M-A-M-M-A-N-O. Make sure to check us out on the web at davidmamano.com and avantientrepreneurgroup.com. Make it a great day and stay awesome.
Canandaigua's newest radio station, 1310 WOKR.